Tonight we are celebrating the auspicious festival of Basant Panchami. Tonight we have come together to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. During a very holy festival in the spiritual world, the holy land of Vrindavan. It is the beginning of the season of spring when Krishna and Balaram perform so many wonderful pastimes in the flower gardens of Vrindavan. And especially is noted as the time when Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, along with their intimate associates, perform the Raslila every night in the beautiful, transcendental, and pleasurable groves around the holy Govardhan Hill. It is a time when in our temples we decorate Sri Sri Radha and Krishna with the beautiful spring flowers, and we dance and chant for their divine pleasure, and we come together to hear the wonderful pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. Sri Jayadev Goswami in his Gita Govinda has described most elaborately the wonderful springtime pastimes of Radha and Krishna at Govardhan Hill. It is the appearance day of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was born in a Kayasta community in the vicinity of Shaptagram in Bengal. His father, Govardhan Majumdar, and his uncle, Hiranya Majumdar, were the wealthiest and most influential people of the time. They had so much wealth. They were the landowners of practically the entire area. And they were very religious, but still they were attached to enjoying material life as well. And factually, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar were supporting and funding the activities of the Vaishnavas in a very, very remarkable way. Their family priest was Yadunandan Acharya, whose very dear friend was Balaram Acharya, who was very close associate of Srila Haridas Thakur. When Raghunath was a very small child, he was brought to have the darshan of Thakur Haridas, who would every day chant minimum of 300,000 names of Krishna. On his lips was continuously the beautiful sound of the Maha Mantra. Although born in a family of an untouchable caste by social observation, he was constantly immersed in hearing and chanting the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was totally detached from anything of this material world. Raghunath Das, from his early childhood, was deeply influenced by the association of this great Acharya. When he was a young man, in his teens, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he went to Shantipur, to Advaitacharya's house. At that time, Raghunath Das, who was so anxious to see the Lord, he somehow left his home, he escaped, and he went to see Lord Chaitanya. And he spent 10 days in the intimate service and association of the Lord. And he was so deeply moved by Lord Chaitanya's beauty, his mercy, and his divine philosophy. Lord Chaitanya told him to return to his home. And he spent some years there, but he was always just longing for the opportunity to dedicate his life wholesale to the loving service of the Lord. On another occasion, during Lord Chaitanya's attempted trip to Vrindavan, he also stopped in Shantipur. And Raghunath Das wanted to go. This was about 4 years later. Lord Chaitanya had already gone to South India and so many places. He had already converted Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. So the father arranged guards and servants to go with him to make sure he comes back. At that time, he told Lord Chaitanya how he wanted to renounce everything of this world and simply engage in his loving service and help him in his mission. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, don't be a Markata Vairagya. Don't follow the principles of the renunciation of monkey. Monkey wears no clothes, they live in trees, they eat very simple food, but they're always hunting female monkeys and trying to enjoy this way or that way. He said, you go home and you pretend to be just like every other materialistic person. You perform all your material duties very carefully so everyone thinks you are normal. But in your heart, you'll be completely detached from all this nonsense. And you'll be always immersed in remembering Krishna and chanting his holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Krishna.
And at the auspicious time, according to Krishna's will, you will be liberated from all of this. So Raghunath Das followed this instruction very carefully, and he was so intelligent, incredibly intelligent. His parents, they were very much worried about him, so they married him to the most beautiful possible woman in practically the world. And he was the only son of both brothers. So he was the inheritor of literally crores upon crores upon crores of rupees by today's standards. And they just treated him with such affection to somehow try to keep him home. And he performed his duties very expertly. But then he became impatient. And what happened is, he went to see Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu at Panihati, when he saw him bowing down from a distance, Lord Nityananda said, you are a thief, keeping a distance from me. So the punishment is you must feed all my devotees with chida and dahi, chipped rice and yogurt. So Raghunath Das Goswami made a wonderful festival. He bought huge quantities of chida and dahi and condensed milk, and he soaked the rice in these two different pots of condensed milk and yogurt and served it to thousands and thousands of devotees. They were on the banks of the Ganges, they were in the Ganges, they were everywhere. And it was such a wonderful festival to see all these devotees taking prasad together. Nityananda Prabhu said, I am a cowherd boy, and we like to take prasad on the banks of the river. So he called Lord Chaitanya in his meditation, and in a divine spiritual form, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And he and Nityananda Prabhu feasted on the chipped rice with all the devotees. And then there was a wonderful, fantastic kirtan where Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were dancing while everyone was loudly chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna!
Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. After this wonderful festival, Raghunath Das Goswami approached Lord Nityananda with great humility. And he prayed, I am the lowest amongst men, and I am so much entrapped in this materialistic way of life. And I am like a dwarf trying to touch the moon. But nevertheless, I want to surrender everything to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the renounced order of life. But one can only approach Lord Chaitanya through the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So please grant me this one benediction, that I may surrender my life for the pleasure of Lord Gaurachandra. Nityananda Prabhu placed his lotus feet on the head of Raghunath Das Goswami and requested all the assembled Vaishnavas to bless him. And then he himself said, very soon you will be liberated from the bondage of materialistic life and you will become one of the most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya under the care of his most confidential servant, Swarup Damodar Goswami. Then Raghunath Das, taking leave and offering gifts to Nityananda Prabhu, returned to home. But he wouldn't stay in his house. He stayed in the outer courtyard, and his parents became very worried. And every day he would run away. And every day his parents would have guards and servants somehow catch him and forcibly drag him back home. And the next day he would escape. And then they would bring him home, and he would escape and bring him home. His wife, the wife of Govardhan Majumdar, said, we should tie him with ropes. And Raghunath's father said, we've already tied him with the ropes of a beautiful wife who's more lovely than an angel, and wealth equal to that of Indra, and so much prestige and influence of society. If these things cannot keep him home, how will ropes? He has become a madman, intoxicated by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's nothing we can do. Anyways, they kept guards always around him. But one night, very late at night, Yadunandan Acharya, the family priest, came and asked him to do a favor. The pujari was not doing his duty. He knew Raghunath was expert at all affairs, so he wanted him to preach to the pujari. So he said, please come with me. When the guard saw him going with Yadunandan Acharya, nobody said anything. So Raghunath Das said, I will take care of this matter. You please go home and rest. It's very late. So Yadunandan Acharya went home to rest. And Raghunath Das, he left. Perhaps he first preached to the Brahman. But then he left. He went into the forest. And he felt, my parents will send guards, so I cannot take the direct route to Jagannath Puri. I have to go the opposite direction, a roundabout route. Anyways, he traveled through the forest for 12 days. And he only obtained food 3 of those days. Sometimes in a cow shed, sometimes some fried grains, whatever there was. But he felt no inconvenience because he was step by step coming closer to the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And when he came to Jagannath Puri, he went directly to the Gambira in the house of Kashi Mishra. And Mukunda Dat saw him and said to Lord Chaitanya, Raghunath Das is paying his obeisances from a distance. And Lord Chaitanya said, come here, come here. And he fell at the feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him with such love. And he looked at him, and he was emaciated. He had been traveling in the jungles for 12 days without any care. And he was like a prince. He was not accustomed to such a life. Lord Chaitanya began to exclaim, you are so fortunate. that Krishna has saved you from the contemptible miseries of material bondage. And Raghunath Das, in his mind, he began to think, I do not know who is Krishna, but I know that you have saved me by your causeless mercy, O Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya said, materialistic family life that is too addicted to the pleasures of this world are like a pit where people go to pass stool. And your father and uncle, they are like worms in that stool. And it is almost impossible to liberate the worms from the stool of material enjoyment. It is only by the mercy of Krishna that you have been liberated. And then Lord Chaitanya entrusted Raghunath Das to be personally under the care of Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he asked Govinda to take him, to take bath in the sea, to give him fresh clothes, to take him to see Jagannath, and to give him Mahaprasad. So for the next 5 days, he got Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal Mahaprasad remnants. And after that, he started sitting by the Singhadwara gate. Meanwhile, back home in Saptagram, the parents, where is Raghunath? He went with Yadunandan Acharya. I don't know where he is. He must have gone to Jagannath Puri. So they sent servants to Shivananda Sen, who was taking a pilgrimage to Puri. He said, I have not seen him. And when Shivananda Sen came back, the parents said, have you seen my son? The messengers came, and he said, yes. He is now personal assistant of Lord Chaitanya's assistant. He's constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord. He's the very life and soul of all the Vaishnavas. He's so austere that he only wears clothes that people throw on the streets. And he only eats from begging at the Singhadwaram gate late at night, whatever remnants people give him. And he practically doesn't sleep. He's always immersed in hearing and chanting and serving the Vaishnavas. He's the embodiment of renunciation. And his parents were very miserable to hear this. So they sent some servants with lots of money to cook for him and buy nice food for him and get a nice home for him. As long as he was going to be in Puri, let's make him comfortable for he can enjoy. Meanwhile, Raghunath Das, he accepted the money, but nothing for himself. 2 days a month he would invite Lord Chaitanya and give him nice prasad. That was all. And then Raghunath stopped going to the Singhadwara gate. Lord Chaitanya said, why? He said, now he's going to the free booths where they just give out free food to the beggars. Lord Chaitanya was very happy. Because at the Singhadwara gate, as people are coming out, you're thinking, what will he give me today? What will she give me tomorrow? And devotees in the renounced order should never be expecting anything from anyone. They should simply be depending on the mercy of Krishna. And after some time, he stopped inviting Lord Chaitanya for his twice a month feast. Because he felt that we should not take things from materialistic people. Lord Chaitanya is just accepting it for my pleasure, but actually he doesn't like. So he sent all the guards and all the money and everything back home. And after some time, Raghunath would not even eat at the free food booths. He even considered that too opulent. And at these free food booths and the places where they sell prasad, whatever had not been sold for several days would become decomposed and rotten and had a terrible smell. So they would give it to the cows, the Talinga cows, to eat. And that which was somewhat good, the cows would eat. But that which was too spoiled, the cows would not eat it. They would either spit it out or just go away from it. after the cows would eat whatever was good, Raghunath would collect those grains that were left. And he would wash it carefully and add some salt and eat that. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar Goswami, saw what he was eating, and one day he ate some of it. He said, "This is nectar." And when Lord Chaitanya came, he said, "I have heard you are eating the most sumptuous prasad. Give me some." And then he grabbed it and ate a handful. And Swarup Damodar said, "Please do not take any more of this." And Lord Chaitanya said, "I have tasted all the varieties of prasad of Jagannath, but never have I tasted such delicious nectar as what Raghunath Das is eating." Because he tasted the spirit of his devotion and renunciation. Mahaprabhu Bhakti Ganeya Vairagya Prado. Renunciation is the basic principle which sustains the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And seeing such renunciation, the Lord is very pleased. Seeing the type of devotion of Raghunath Das Goswami, Lord Chaitanya was so satisfied. It's that he followed the regulative principles so strictly they were like lines in stone. Could not be erased by any circumstance. He would hear and chant the glories of the Lord 22 hours a day. He would sleep at the most 1.5 hours a day. And sometimes that was impossible because he was so much engrossed in hearing and chanting. He would chant lakhs of names every day. He would bow down before the deity 1,000 times a day. He would bow down before the devotees 2,000 times a day. And he was always immersed in humbly serving the servants of the Lord and constantly chanting Harinam. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased, he gave him his own worshipable deity. One devotee named Shankarananda Saraswati came from Vrindavan and presented Lord Chaitanya a Govardhan Shila. And Lord Chaitanya would wear it around his neck, and sometimes during kirtans he would hold it to his eyes and his forehead and hold it to his heart, and he was in such an ecstatic love that that Shila was always covered with his tears. Lord Chaitanya gave that Shila to Raghunath Das Goswami as well as a garland of conch shells. And Raghunath Das understood, by giving me this garland of conch shells, he has given me a place in the shelter of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. And by giving me his Govardhan Shila, he has given me residence at Govardhan Hill. Lord Chaitanya personally instructed it how to worship with water and with tulsi leaves and tulsi flowers. And later Swarup Damodar Goswami arranged through Govinda nice opulent sweets to be offered. And he made this his life and soul. In this way, Raghunath Das established the highest standards of love and devotion. And for about 16 years, he was the servant of the servant of Lord Chaitanya. One time he asked through Swarup Damodar, "My dear Lord, I have left my home, my family, my everything, but I do not even know what my duties are as a renunciate and why I have done this. Please tell me." And Lord Chaitanya gave him the supreme instructions for all those who want to make spiritual advancement in the mood of detachment. Gramya katana shunibe, gramya baratana kahibe. That you should not speak material subject matters. You should not gossip. You should not speak it or hear it. The gossip topics of this material world. And you should not eat very opulently, and you should not dress luxuriantly. And you should offer all respects to others and expect no respect for yourself. And you should constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. And in your mind, you should always worship Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. these two slokas, which contain these instructions, is the heart and soul of all those who are trying to renounce the illusions of this world and attain pure loving devotion to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. After 16 years of serving the Lord, Lord Chaitanya disappeared, and Swarup Damodar Goswami disappeared. And Raghunath Das Goswami was thinking, what is my life without my two masters? So he vowed to go to Vrindavan, and from the top of Govardhan Hill he would jump and end his life. But he wanted to have darshan of Vrindavan before leaving this world. So he went to Vrindavan, and there he met Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And when he met Rupa and Sanatan, he understood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still lives through them. They were the very embodiments of the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He felt such intense separation, he had no desire to live without Swarup Damodar and Lord Chaitanya. But when he saw how Rupa and Sanatan were so totally surrendered to the mission of the Lord, and how they imbibed so much the spirit of the Lord's mercy, he experienced the presence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again through them. And they told him, you should not leave. You should go to Radhakund. We will arrange a residence for you there. And there you should instruct everyone in the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. For at least 3 hours every day on the banks of Radhakund, Raghunath Das Goswami would narrate the wonderful pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he became most intimate, loving friend and brother of the other Goswamis, Rupa and Sanatan, Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, and Jiva Goswami. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, listening to the narrations of Raghunath Das, learned the topics very well, and by the request of the Vaishnavas, praying at the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath, he wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the most authorized and important biography of Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings in all the world. Raghunath Das Goswami lived on the banks of Radhakund, and there are so many wonderful stories of the nature of his bhajan. He excavated Radhakund. He performed such type of devotion that the acharyas have named him the Prayojana Acharya. That means Sanatan Goswami taught by his example how to establish our relationship with Krishna Sambandha. Rupa Goswami explained how to perfect our lives by acting according to that relationship, the Abhidheya Acharya. But Raghunath Das Goswami, he was absorbed in the highest, most intimate mellows of being the maidservant of Radha and Krishna in his bhajan and in his meditation. And thus he taught us the perfection of the pure heart. Raghunath Das Goswami wrote beautiful poetry in glorification of Radha and Krishna, of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and offered wonderful prayers. One prayer he exhibits from his heart, the very essence of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani in assisting in her service to Lord Sri Krishna. And without this service, he said, I do not care for Vrindavan. I do not even care for Krishna. I cannot be the servant of the servant of Sri Radharani. So on this holy day, we can receive the mercy of Sri Raghunath Das Goswami and pray for him that we can become detached from selfish material enjoyment and completely detached to the loving service of the Lord and his devotees and the constant chanting of the holy name.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
very brief because everyone wants to have darshan. I'll only speak for a few more minutes. It is also the appearance day of Vishnupriya Devi, who is the consort of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a beautiful description. Lakshmi Devi, the first wife of Lord Chaitanya, died of separation when he went to East Bengal to preach. When he returned, Sachi Mata so much wanted to him to have another wife. So she approached. Actually, every day, she would see Vishnupriya on the banks of the Ganges. And every day, Vishnupriya, with great humility, would bow down before Sachi Mata. She was the very embodiment of devotion. And she was so beautiful in every way. She was the daughter of a great Brahmin named Sanatan Mishra. And she was perfectly chaste and devoted to her parents, who were pure devotees of the Lord. She would bathe in the Ganges 3 times a day and was always chanting the holy names and performing different devotional activities. So Sachi Mata thought, this is the person who should be the bride of my child. So what happened is, she approached Kashinath Mishra, who was a Brahmin, and he went to Sanatan Mishra's home and said that Sachi Mata wants your daughter to marry her son. You will be the most fortunate, anyone who marries Nimai Pandit. So he spoke to his family, and they all said, we were just dreaming and thinking that he's the person who should marry our daughter. So there's a very wonderful, elaborate description of this marriage. Budhimanta Khan, he came forward and said that this should not be another poor Brahmin's marriage. This should be the most opulent marriage in Bengal. This should be a marriage fit for a prince. I will sponsor everything. And Mukund Sanjay, who is another householder, said, why do you want to sponsor everything? I want to give money to. In this way, there was a very luxurious wedding arranged. The Adivas, they had so many gifts. They decorated Lord Chaitanya with so many beautiful silks and jewels and sandalwood. And he was giving all the guests garlands and sandalwood and different refreshments like betel nuts and so forth, which was the custom at the time. And he was giving so much. And thousands of Brahmins were coming to receive, and others. But some of them were crooked. They were cheaters. They would go to the front of the line and get the gifts, then they would go to the back of the line to get more, because they saw there's a lot. So Lord Chaitanya was thinking, if they cheat, they commit offense. If they commit offense, it's not good for their spiritual lives. So he told everybody, policy, everyone gets 3 times. Everyone comes around 3 times. So everyone was amazed. So everyone came around 3 times and got gifts. And this way nobody cheated, because everyone was completely satisfied. And then there was a big feast. And then there was the next ceremony. And they decorated the Lord very beautiful again. And then Budhimanta Khan came with a beautiful palanquin. Sachi Mata was giving so many gifts to all the Brahmins and to all the ladies and to all her friends and relatives. She was giving rice and turmeric and vermilion and oils and whatever else Matajis give in charity. So many nice gifts. And everyone was so happy. And then they took Lord Chaitanya on the palanquin. And there was thousands of lights and torches. And he started smiling at everyone. And then there was mridangas and kartals and shanais and all, every kind of instrument was playing. And the palanquin started going toward the banks of the Ganges. And there was hundreds and thousands of people. And the children started dancing. Just dancing and dancing. And everyone was going, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
And when everyone saw the children dancing so gleefully, everyone began dancing. Dancing and singing. and they went to the Ganges, and they bowed down to Mother Ganga and took her blessings. And they went to all the different marketplaces and ghats and throughout Navadweep. And ultimately the procession, lit by thousands of torches, everyone singing, everyone dancing. People were just running to see the beauty of Lord Chaitanya. And all the Brahmin men, when they saw Lord Chaitanya, they were thinking, how unfortunate we are that he did not marry our daughter. And all the women who were married were just forgetting their husbands and running just to see Lord Chaitanya. And the unmarried women were leaving their homes, their mothers, their fathers, just running to see Lord Chaitanya. And all of them were thinking, we are so unfortunate we did not get a husband like this. His beauty was so charming. And when they came to the house of Vishnupriya Devi, Sanatan Mishra came to greet them and offered him cloth and gifts and garlands and food and everything. And then the mother came out and started throwing rice on his head, as the custom, and offered arti, 7 different ghee lamps. And then she started very loudly chanting different mantras. And then all the Brahmas started chanting mantras. And then they brought Lord Chaitanya inside and they put him on a beautiful jeweled throne. And then they brought out Vishnupriya, who was so beautifully decorated and who was a very embodiment of beauty and chastity. And she first circumambulated Lord Chaitanya 7 times. And then they sat, then she bowed down at his lotus feet. And she placed a garland at his feet. And then for the first time, they looked at each other. And they began to stare in each other's eyes. And the wonderful reunion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Goddess of Fortune had taken place. And then there was the exchange of garlands. And everyone began to shower flowers upon them. And as they were showering flowers, people began to... The bride side was chanting different mantras very loud. And then the groom side tried to chant louder, and there was competition, who could chant louder. And meanwhile, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu was telling them, louder, louder, louder. They were all very happy. And Brahma, Shiva, Narada, all the demigods, principal demigods, they all disguised themselves just to come and throw flowers on the divine couple, Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Vishnupriya Devi. It was a wonderful ceremony. And people began to dance and to sing. And in this way, there was a fire yajna. And then Vishnupriya Devi again circumambulated to gather the fire. And in this way the marriage was complete. Sanatan Mishra took the hand of his daughter and placed it in the hand of Lord Chaitanya after offering him argya and madhuparak and achman and all sorts of other wonderful offerings. And he said, please, it is my supreme fortune on this day that you kindly accept the hand of my daughter in marriage. I give her in charity to you, along with everything else in my life I offer to you. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted. And then again they showered flowers, and there was a wonderful festival. Throughout the night there was a wonderful festival, and a big feast was served to everyone's full satisfaction. And the next morning, there was more celebrations, and that afternoon they went on a procession back to Sachimata's house. And this time Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Vishnupriya were sitting together on the palanquin. And anyone who saw them together was simply struck with the wonder of the beauty of this divine couple. Some were saying, they look like Lakshmi and Narayan. And others said, they look like Kamadev and Rati. And someone else said, they look like Shiva and Parvati. And others said, they look like Radha and Krishna. And when they finally came to the house of Sachi Mata, with tears of love streaming from her eyes, she greeted them and offered arti and offered refreshments and brought them into the house. And in this way, the marriage ceremony was concluded. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vishnupriya lived together in the loving service of the Lord. But on the eve that Lord Chaitanya was to take sannyas, Vishnupriya Devi approached him alone in the room that they stayed. And she said, my lord, I have heard rumors that tonight you will leave me and take sannyas, the renounced order. How is this possible? Your lotus feet are so soft that I dare not even touch them, afraid that I may harm them. How will you be barefoot, walking through the jungles and the forest with thorns and rocks, with your soft, beautiful lotus feet? And your face is so gentle, like the full moon. How will you tolerate the heat of the summer, the cold of the winter, the bitter rains of the monsoons? The life of a sannyasi is very cruel, it is very difficult. I cannot bear to think of you in this way. And you are my only wealth. You are my life. You are my soul. You are my everything. If you leave me, I have nothing to live for. I may as well drink poison and die. Please do not leave. You have your friends, Nityananda, Srivasa, Dvaita. If you consider me to be the cause of bondage, then I will give up my life. But please, you stay with your friends and remain comfortable here. But do not leave. I beg of this. I cannot survive. And she began to weep and to cry. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak to her with very sweet and gentle, compassionate words. He expressed his deep love for her and how they could never be separated. But then he said, their hearts could never be separated. But he said, please know that there are only two things that are real in the whole creation. There is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and there is the Vaishnavas, the devotees. And everything else is an illusion. Wife, husband, mother, father, children, social position, wealth, home, they are all coming and going. They are all products of Maya. We can utilize these things in the service of the Lord, but we should not be attached to them. We should only be attached to Krishna and his devotees. All of these attachments in the world are all sources of pain. So you should know that I will always be within your heart whenever you remember me. I will never give you up in this way. And then Lord Chaitanya showed his forearm form of Narayan to Vishnupriya. And by hearing his words and seeing this form, she became pacified. But again, she began to weep because she could not give up the thought of him as her husband. And then she spoke the words of pure surrender. She said, my Lord, you are independent. Whatever you desire, you must do. If you desire to leave me, if you desire to take sannyas, whatever you desire, you please do it. because the only ambition in my life is to see you happy. And let no one obstruct your happiness in life. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged her with so many words of love, and then he left to take sannyas. Later that night, Vishnupriya, in the absence of the Lord, was given a to worship that murti as her own husband and beloved. And every day she would constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. And after each mantra, she would take one grade of rice and place it aside. And after chanting all day, however many grains of rice were there, she would cook it. And she would offer it to the deity of Lord Chaitanya. And she would just eat a small portion of that. She became emaciated. This was the standard of her love in separation. And she continued. And when Sachi Mata was invited to Shantipur to see Lord Chaitanya, she was so happy she would see herself. But Vishnupriya could not go. Because according to the traditions, after a man takes sannyas, he is not to see his ex-wife again. So she lived in the unbearable ecstasy of separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, her eternal consort. As Sri Radharani was in separation when Krishna left for Mathura and Dwarka, as Sita was in separation when she was ordered to reside in the ashram of Valmiki Muni, this love in separation is the tenderest and most intimate expression of transcendental ecstasy. And in the biographies of the Lord and His devotees, it explains when Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and other great souls came to Navadvip after Lord Chaitanya passed from this world, they were all greeted by Vishnupriya Mataji. They worshipped her lotus feet. And on this day, the appearance day of Sri Vishnupriya, the eternal consort of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we also have the opportunity to worship her lotus feet by hearing her glories and chanting the holy names of the Lord. It is also the appearance day of Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who happens to be the father of Srimati Radharani in Krishna's Leela, Sri Brishabhanu Raj. One time Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip began to call out, Bap Pundarik, Bap Pundarik, Father Pundarik. And he was weeping and crying, Pundarik, Pundarik. The devotee said, who is this Pundarik? Is it Krishna? He said, someday, very soon, a very great personality who we've never seen before will come to Navadvip. So he came. But he was a very extraordinary personality. Pundarik Vidyanidhi was the greatest Vaishnava, but he was very wealthy. The standard of his devotion is he would never go in the river Ganges because he felt that the river Ganges is so holy and Mother Ganges is so merciful that he would not want to touch his feet to the river. And he couldn't bear going to the Ganges when other people were there, because he'd see them spitting and blowing and washing clothes. He just couldn't tolerate it. It would break his heart. So very early in the morning, before anyone, he would go and he would bow down and he would sprinkle the water on himself and drink that water. He lived in Chattagong, but he had a house in Navadweep. So he arrived in Navadweep, and no one knew who he was. But Mukunda Dutt, he's from Chattagram, so he knew. So he approached Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit was a very, very great devotee. From his birth, he was always worshipping Radha and Krishna and was completely detached from anything of this world. So he said to Gadadhar Pandit that there's a great Vaishnava that has come. Would you like to meet him? So Gadadhar Pandit was very happy. Yes, I would like to meet a great Vaishnava and receive his blessings. So they went to Pundarik Vidyanidhi's house, and he very cordially greeted them. But Gadadhar Pandit looked. He was wearing very, very expensive silk clothes, and he had jewelry on. And he was chewing pan. And his hair was so beautiful, combed, so intricately, finely combed, and scented with the most expensive oils. And there was very soft, comfortable pillows all around him. And there was highly polished brass vessels and mirrors that he would sometimes look in to see himself. And there were servants, and they were fanning him with very fine-handled chamara fans. And Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, what kind of, this is a Vaishnava? He's a sense enjoyer. So Mukunda Dutt understood Gadadhar's mind. So he sang a beautiful sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Mukunda Dutt sang, he had the most sweet, beautiful voice. He sang a verse that the Supreme Lord Krishna, he is so merciful that Putana, the sister of Bakasura, smeared poison on her breast and came to kill him. She was such a Rakshashi demon. But Krishna sent her back to the spiritual world and gave her the topmost liberation of being his own mother in Vaikuntha, Goloka. Where is such a great merciful Lord to be found as him? And when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this, in great humility, he began to cry out, why, I am so fallen. The Lord has come to deliver everyone except me. Where is such a merciful Lord to be found? And in his humility of divine love, his limbs began to tremble, his hair stood on end, tears began to flow from his eyes like the rivers Ganges and Jamuna. And all the ecstatic symptoms of love of God manifested in such a way, they started battling against each other. And he just started calling out beautiful prayers of humility for the Lord to save him. Oh Lord, my master, will you not be merciful to me? And he began to kick. And as he kicked, he started breaking all the pots and all of the beautiful silk sheets on the bed, and the pillows were just being ripped to pieces. And then he started tearing up his own clothes and all his jewelry. It was like tidal waves of ecstatic symptoms. And 10 men trying to hold him down, but they just went flying in all directions. And for some hours he was left. Finally it came to such a peak of ecstasy, he just fell unconscious in samadhi. And when Gadadhar Pandit saw this, he felt very bad. That I was thinking he's materialistic. What kind of ecstatic devotee is he? And he told Mukunda Dutt, that I have made an offense to him. I want to worship him. In order to make proper spiritual advancement, everyone must get initiated by a proper spiritual master in disciplic succession. And Gadadhar expressed, I have not yet taken initiation. I want to take a diksha from him. Pundarik Vidyaniri was directly a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who was the Param Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After 6 hours of being in trance, Pundarik Vidyaniri came to consciousness. And we saw the room around him and understood what he had done. He became very shy and embarrassed and humble. And he greeted his guests, and Mukunda Dutt explained, Gadadhar Pandit is completely renounced from birth, so humble, so gentle, so learned in the scriptures, and such a great devotee. He wants to take initiation from you. So Pundarik Vidyaniri agreed. He said, it's only by the supreme causeless mercy of Lord Krishna that one can get a disciple like Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit went and asked Lord Chaitanya's permission, and he immediately said, yes, this is perfect. And when Pundarik Vidyaniri, he went to meet with Lord Chaitanya, they both began to bathe each other with tears of ecstatic love as they embraced. It's a beautiful, beautiful story and pastime. In this way, Pundarik Vidyaniri became one of the most intimate loving associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastimes in Navadvip. He was always immersed in kirtan of the holy name and chanting and dancing, and he became the guru of Gadadhar Pandit. Later on in Jagannath Puri, one time Pundarik Vidyaniri saw that they were offering starched clothes to Lord Jagannath at the beginning of winter. Because what they would do, in order to make the clothes in the looms, the threads had to be stiff, so they would soak it in water that had soaked in rice. And usually that's considered contaminated, so you have to rinse it out before offering it to the deities. But the pujaris didn't rinse it out. It was still starchy clothes. So Pundarik Vidyaniri said to Swarup Damodar Goswami, this is not good that they are doing this. This is an offense. And Swarup Damodar Goswami was explaining that the Lord accepts devotion. He doesn't care about whether they're starched or not. And Pundarik Vidyaniri said, yeah, that's all right, he accepts devotion, but still they should wash out the starch. It's a wonderful story. That night, Pundarik Vidyaniri went to sleep. And Jagannath and Balaram appeared to him in their sleep, and they both started slapping him in the face. They were saying, you have offended our pujaris. Like this. And he was in ecstasy as Lord Jagannath and Balaram were beating him in his cheeks. He was in ecstatic love. He was just weeping and crying. What kind of mercy I'm getting. And when he woke up in the morning, his cheeks were all red from being slapped all night. And he went the next morning and he was hiding his face from Swarup Damodar Goswami. And when Swarup Damodar Goswami said, what is it? He told him what happened. Swarup Damodar Goswami was very happy to hear this transcendental pastime. The Lord loves his devotees, and devotional service offered in pure love is transcendental to the rules and regulations. In fact, all the rules and regulations are only meant to bring us to that point of pure love and devotion. So these are some wonderful stories about the wonderful character of Srila Pundarik Vidyaniri. the constant associate of the Lord. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna in the mood of Radharani, so he actually honored and loved Pundarika as his own father. It is also the appearance day of Raghunandan Thakur. How much time should we go on? I'll go on for a few more minutes. Would you like me to go on? So Raghunandan Thakur was born in Srikhanda. His father's name was Mukunda Das Kaviraj. And his uncle's name was Narahari Sarakar. There were three brothers, Madhava Das, Mukunda Das, and Narahari. And Mukunda Das was the royal physician. He was such an expert Ayurvedic doctor that the Muslim king personally would call him whenever he was sick. So one time the king was on a raised platform, sitting on his throne, and he called Mukunda Das. And Mukunda Das was giving him prescriptions for medicine. And then someone came to fan the king with a peacock tail fan. And when he saw the peacock tail, he remembered Krishna. And as soon as he remembered Krishna, he went into trance and fell unconscious and fell off the raised platform onto the ground. And the king thought he was dead. The king jumped down and went down and picked him up and said, "Are you all right?" He said, "Yes, I am all right. There's no pain." He said, "Why did you fall?" Now, such great souls will never tell that they're great souls. So instead of saying what happened, he said, "I have a mild case of epilepsy. And sometimes I do like this. But it's all right. Now I'm all right." But the king was a wise man. He understood that he's an ecstatic devotee of Krishna, and he went into trance. And he honored him and told him, "You can go home." So his son was Raghunandan. And at home they had a deity of Gopinath. And Mukunda Das worshipped this deity of Gopinath with great love and devotion. And Raghunandan Thakur, when he got a little older, he was given the sacred thread, and his father was training him to do some puja for the deity. So one day, Mukunda Das was called to go out of town to do some work, some medical work for the king. So he told Raghunandan that you should offer bhoga today to the deities. You just offer with love and devotion the prasad, or the bhoga, and make sure the deity eats. So Mukunda Das's wife made nice bhoga and gave to Raghunandan. He was a young boy, and he brought it on the altar, and he said, "Dear Gopinath, please eat." So Gopinath glanced at the food and ate it through his eyes. But Raghunandan didn't understand us eating through eyes. So he said, "Please, Gopinath, I'm offering. My father has asked me, please eat." But the food was still there. So Raghunandan began to weep and cry that he is not accepting my offering. My life is a failure. And the deity could understand. So just to please Raghunandan, right in front of his eyes, the deities just started eating everything. There was nothing left. So Raghunandan was very happy. And he brought the plate off. And Raghunandan's mother's. "What happened to all the prasad?" He said, "Gopinath ate it." So she didn't believe him. So when Mukunda Das came home that evening,
She said, I think our son ate all the boga. While it was on the altar, it came off. There was nothing on the plate. So he asked, Mukundadas asked Raghunandan, why there's no boga? He said, because Gopinath ate. You told me he should eat, and he ate. So Mukundadas understood his son was very special. So he made some laddu. He said, you offer this laddu. So Raghunandan went on the altar, and Mukundadas was hiding, secretly watching. And Raghunandan offered the laddu, and he said, please eat this laddu. And Gopinath wasn't eating, so he started crying again. So Gopinath ate. But he only ate half, because he just had full meal. So he only had enough for half the laddu. So Mukundadas understood, who is this son of mine? So one time in Jagannath Puri, after Rath Yatra, there were 7 parties of kirtan during Rath Yatra in Puri. And one of the parties was the residence of Shrikanda. And Raghunandan was the lead dancer of that party. He was a beautiful dancer. He would dance so gracefully for the pleasure of the Lord as everyone loudly chanted the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One year as they were leaving, Lord Chaitanya turned to Mukundadas and said, are you the father of Raghunandan, or is Raghunandan the father of you? And Mukundadas Sarakar replied, Raghunandan is the father of me. Because of his devotion, he has brought our whole family, including me, to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he said, yes. One who brings us to the lotus feet of Krishna is our spiritual master. He is our father. So for your parents here, whose children have inspired you to come to the Krishna Consciousness Movement, you should know that your daughter is your mother and your son is your father. So you should respect them very nicely. As they say, honor thy mother and father. And then Lord Chaitanya gave them instructions. Very important for everyone to understand. He told Mukundadas Sarakar, he was a grihastha. He said, you be an exemplary grihastha and you earn material and spiritual wealth in your life. And then he told Raghunandan Thakur, he said, you should worship the deity in the temple. And he told Narahari Sarakar, he said, you should stay here in Jagannath Puri with me and remain in the association of devotees and preach. And these are the 3 basic services according to one's nature. To be a grihastha, to be exemplary in one's occupation, in one's family, and to earn both materially and spiritually. Another is to be in the temple and to do seva for the deity. And the other is to be in the association of devotees and to preach. And they are all equal. According to one's own nature, one can engage in the service of the Lord. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged all to work together in harmony by spreading the glories of the holy name. Anyone else?
Saraswati Puja. We should all offer obeisances to Goddess Saraswati. And we learn in Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita about the Digvijay Pandit, who was the greatest devotee of Saraswati. And she revealed her innermost heart to Keshava Kashmiri, that Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is my Lord and He is my Master. And the greatest benediction I can give you is the instruction that you should surrender to His lotus feet and constantly chant His holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
That is the perfection of Saraswati Puja. At this time, on the holy day of Basant Panchami, there's a very special darshan of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Today is a special festival because the brahmacharis are all out on book distribution marathon. So the congregational ladies did all the deity worship and did all the decorations. So we are very thankful to the brahmacharis for their wonderful efforts in book distribution. And we're very grateful for the Matajis for their wonderful efforts to so nicely serve the deities, and especially grateful to all of you for coming and joining us this evening for this wonderful festival.